and welcome to the Off-Kilter Quilt. My name is Frances, and I'll be your hostess. And welcome to episode 200, the 200th episode. How exciting is that? 200, the very late 200th episode. I don't know what's going on other than I'm lacking some focus right now, the way one does when you finish up a big project. And I've actually this fall finished up two big projects. One, The Birds in the Air, getting the book out, getting to Atlanta, having the quilt for the show. And then I just finished up a draft of a middle grade novel that I've sent to my editor that I've been working on since this summer. And it's a very rough draft, but I wanted her to take a look at it and give me some ideas about how to move forward. And so I sent that to her, I'm going to say a week ago on Monday. And now I'm like, what do I do? And I actually this morning got started on the third book of a trilogy, of the Sam the Man trilogy. And these are very short books, so I'm hoping to have a draft early in the new year. But I want to get that done so then I can focus on the next Sweet Anne's Gap book, which will continue the adventures of Emma and Friends. And speaking of Emma and Friends, because it is my 200th episode of the Off-Kilter Quilt, and by the way, it is Monday, November 7th. It is my younger brother's 50th birthday. How did we get so old? And my mother is still so young. No one can figure that out. Where was I going with? Why was I telling you the date? Oh, 200th. Emma, want to do a giveaway. So I've got a couple ideas here. Now, many of you have been so kind and have already gotten your copy of Birds in the Air, but perhaps you have not, or perhaps you'd like to have a second copy to give to a friend, or perhaps you bought an ebook and would like to have a physical copy of the book. So one thing I'm going to do is give away a copy of Birds in the Air. Please comment by December 1st. If you have a copy of Birds in the Air and have already bought 20 copies for your friends, and God bless you if you have, or even one. Just thank you if you've bought the book, or if you've read the book. If you've requested it from your public library, thank you. But say you're like, well, yeah, I don't actually need any more copies of Birds in the Air, but I do have a 10-year-old niece or a 9-year-old nephew. I have lots of books that I have written for kids. So leave a comment and just say happy 200th and whatever you want to say. I'm not going to tell you what to say. Say what you want to say. But if you win, you can tell me what would you like. And you can go on Amazon. I'm there, Frances O'Rourke Dowell. And you can pick a book. And I'll send you what you want. So that's the giveaway. I hope you'll leave me a comment. I would love to hear from you. Even if you don't want to be entered in the giveaway, leave me a comment or at least send me one via ESP. So, in the Quilt Diaries, which I started so many years ago, it feels like at this point, I'm like, what did I say in the first Quilt Diary? Who knows? I don't know. And I possibly repeated it in the second Quilt Diary. I just don't even know. I am unorganized in my thoughts, and I need to get focused. I do, because Christmas is coming, my least favorite holiday. Boxing Day being my favorite, which is the day after Christmas. I love Christmas. I love the religious holiday of Christmas. I love Advent very much because the light is so beautiful during Advent. I'm sitting on the porch, by the way, and of course, as soon as I sat down, someone started mowing their lawn. That's just how it goes, and we don't complain here in podcast land because everything is perfect all the time. Ha ha! Yeah. Anyway, I know that when I did Quilt Diary Day 1, I was talking about house quilts, so you can listen to that. Go, by the way, please do go to the show notes, because I have all sorts of fun links to things I've been thinking about, and I have been thinking about houses, and am working on some house quilts. I've not made a lot of progress. I'll just have a little bitty thing that I'm going to take a picture of to show you, but I have some new ideas. I'm very excited. You know, one of the things that needs to happen in the next 3 weeks, QuiltCon quilts, yes, deciding what to do with those. Before I forget, after I finished recording the second quilt diary, I did get some new comments from Jay and from Claire, who may actually be a new commenter. I'm not quite sure, but I just wanted to say thanks. I want everyone who comments to feel included and acknowledged because I really do appreciate comments. Do I have anything else to tell you? No, I think we're good. I think that I'm looking around, and I know as soon as I stop, I will think of other things to tell you that are very interesting. I am getting excited about QuiltCon. Quilt and Jenny and I are trying to work out an Airbnb thing. We're going to do it. I think we're going to have a great time. We're so excited. So I'm thinking about that, and oh, you guys, I'm just rambling. I'm going to stop rambling. If I think of something good, I'll just start a new quilt diary for next time, and I'm going to try to be a little more punctual in my new organized life that starts today. So, my dears, so let us get on with Quilt Diaries. Quilt Diary Day 1. It is Thursday, October 20th. October is flying by, and I want it just to sort of saunter along. I love October. This has been a beautiful October. We're not even going to complain about the last few days where it's been in the 80s, because we don't complain about the weather, do we? No. And besides, tomorrow it's going to be 70, and then it's going to stay where it's supposed to be by law, in the mid upper 60s. It's in the constitution of the state, and I think we need to follow that, folks. Can you hear the birds? They're talking to each other. And I don't know what the deal is, because they're not excited the way if there were a hawk. And there are hawks around here, the red-tailed hawks. And so sometimes a hawk will come around, and the birds get very excited because the hawk's coming after them, you know. And I see this little tiny wren or sparrow on our dogwood tree. That's who the hawk's like, oh, great, afternoon snack. But this is just sort of, it's like they're just chattering. It's very nice. And I'm hoping that Travis won't start barking. You never know with him. More and more lately, he's hearing some things. He's almost 9, which he's still a pup in so many ways, but I do see some teeny tiny behavioral changes in him that suggests he's getting at least a little crankier. So it is a beautiful day, aside from the overwhelming heat. If it had been 85, like 2 months ago, we would have been dancing in the street and putting on sweaters. So it's all a matter of perspective. We know that. The man has a cold. Will has a cold. And I have to tell you, I was out running errands, and I pulled into the driveway. I thought, oh no, because I realized my throat is sore. And that is how it started with both of them. I don't want a cold. I haven't had a cold in a long time. And I think the reason I'm getting a cold is hubris, because I've been walking around going, you know, I haven't had a cold in a long time. Huh, I must be really special and beloved by the universe. So now it's like, here you go. Let me tell you, quilty news. I don't have huge quilty news. Yes, because I know I talked about this last time, my little patchwork quilt that I'm working on that has, you know, I think if I ever name it. I obviously named the birds in the air quilts. But in general, I don't think I name quilts that often. I mean, occasionally, like Simply Amy, Simply Francis. You know that you've been listening to me a long time, if that rings a bell for you. But mostly I don't. Am I wrong? I'll have to think about that. But I don't think of myself as a quilt namer. But I do think I'm going to call this the unfinished portrait of George Washington, because that sort of bottom, where the bottom kind of the color drains out, and it sort of looks like that Gilbert Stuart painting. Not really. It doesn't look a thing like George Washington, but that's what I think of. You know, and last time I was talking about how I ran across a picture of one of Jay's quilts that had that space in the middle that appears kind of whited out. And I really think that was one of my inspirations, unknowingly, one of my inspirations. I was unknowing. The quilt is not a sentient being, so it had no idea it was one of my inspirations. But also, you know, I saw flipping through something and saw a Victoria Finlay Wolfe quilt, like her, you know, one of her famous wedding ring quilts, and she also uses, you know, negative space that way, where the color sort of seems to drain out of her quilts in certain spots. I'm like, oh yeah, that may have been an inspiration as well. Anyway, I'm sewing that up. I'm piecing it, as we quilters say. The muggles say sewing it up, I guess. I'm piecing it, and can I tell you, it's kind of a pain because there are lots and lots of these 3-inch squares, and I have a picture, and I'm trying, you know, so that when I put so piece the pieces together and then put them back on my design wall, I have an idea of what order they should go in. Except, you know, I'm old, my eyes are old, and it's hard to tell, and it's not a great picture, it turns out. So I'm winging it a bit, but it makes me think. I've always kind of wanted to do a postage stamp quilt, and now I'm kind of thinking, what a horrible idea. I love postage stamp quilts. I think they're so cool looking, and I really have had that in the back of my mind. That's a quilt I would like to do, and I thought, what? Because those are tea tiny. These are 3-inch squares, and they're still kind of a pain. But I'm working on it just to get it off the design board, because I know, you know, if I take it off the wall, I ain't never making that quilt. If I take it off in little pieces, that just kiss that quilt goodbye. It's not happening. And I like it, and I want it to happen, so I'm going to do it. It will also give me a quilt to do some practice quilting on, which all my quilts are practice quilting quilts. So I want to finish it. I want to clear my design wall so I can do some other stuff. So, and the other stuff, I'm working on an idea. So here's the thing. I've been thinking a lot and doing some reading lately about houses and about homes. And it's kind of like become kind of the theme of the fall, which I think houses and homes is a really good, nice autumn thing to think about. And I'm trying to do some work in mine. It's very hard. Just every time we just get rid of stuff, you know, the garage fills up again, and this has to do, you know, with most recently with my mother-in-law passing away, and we have not claimed very much from her household. We really don't need a lot, but there's certainly sentimental items, and in some cases the man's just had to haul some stuff out to sort out. There were some photo albums and photographs and items such as that that were just sort of dumped in a box. We won't get into that story, but just let's say that was like, oh, okay. So for us to actually figure out what's worth saving and what we want to keep, you have to take the whole box. Okay, so we did. And so there's all, it just means that it's going to be a little while before my house is truly put to rights. But I did spend a good deal of time, I would say Sunday and Monday, on Jack's room, getting rid of stuff that's been like in his closet now. We've lived in this house for 9.5 years. You know, just stuff that has, you know, just inch thick dust all over it, because it's just something he got and he put in the closet, and there it has stayed. And he has 2 closets, actually. And we are working on, but Will introduced the revolutionary idea last week, or earlier this week, actually, that when Jack goes to college, perhaps he could take Jack's room. Jack will object strongly, and yet his room, I have to say, it's kind of the nicest bedroom. This house has 4 bedrooms. One is very tiny. The other backs onto the walk-in attic, which means it is either really, really hot or really, really cold, because the insulation is not great. The master bedroom is fine, but it's like Jack's room gets the great light. It's like the best ventilated, so it's the coolest in the summer and nicely warm, but not stuffy in the winter. And he has lots of windows and all of that. I'm thinking, yeah, I'm not sure that we're going to preserve that as the Jack Museum when he goes off to college. Anyway, so I'm trying to make some progress and thinking about this stuff, because I can't just clean house. I have to have a theory about house cleaning. I have to have an understanding of why is this important. What have great thinkers thought about house cleaning? Not really a lot. Plato has really little to say about house cleaning, and I think Nietzsche has even less. But I think about it, and yeah, one of the reasons that I have been thinking about this stuff is, I'm working in a group through my church on affordable housing issues. This is actually, the group is a larger group. It's outside of the church, but incorporates people from all sorts of organizations in the city. And the issue that I'm working on is affordable housing, and which, you know, it's funny. It's like this is going on in so many places, but where there have been economic booms in places that were once were very affordable to live in. In fact, Durham for a long time was cheap because there wasn't much here, and except for crime and Duke. So those two things really made it completely unpopular. Sorry, Tori. My friend Tori, who's coming to town tomorrow, and I'm hoping we're going to get to go to lunch and have a field trip over to the Cary Quilting Company, is a Duke grad. And so, yeah, anyway. But now Durham is this great place, and it's got a lot. The downtown has been made over. There's a lot going on. There's just a lot to do. It's culturally, it's a great place to be. And that means that the housing has become more and more expensive, and it means people are getting pushed out. And it's, you know, how do you balance that? Because you want the good things. You want the economy to be vibrant and people to be moving in, but you don't want neighborhoods to be destroyed. And of course, some neighborhoods are destroyed not because of people getting pushed out, but because of drug dealers coming who have been there now for 20 years. And that's actually where more of our focus is sort of reclaiming some properties and refurbishing and making that a community project, not just an outside do-gooder project. But so it's all very interesting to me. But you know, I was thinking about how important our shelters are to us. And I mean, I like the idea of thinking about, you know, it's so basic. A house is a shelter. That's why we have houses, right? We need shelter from the weather, from this dang weather that's 85 degrees in the middle of October. And but how much we need spaces that are safe, that feel like a refuge, where are places of comfort and places that we can, I'm trying to think of the right word other than decorate, but there's something it seems that humans really do have that impulse, not only to have our shelter, but to make our shelter somehow conform to our sense of ourselves and what we think life should be, et cetera, et cetera. So I have been thinking about that. I'm reading a book I'm really enjoying a lot by Michael Pollan, who you would know from The Omnivore's Dilemma. It's called A Place of My Own, An Architectural Daydream, I think is the subtitle. I'll link to it in the show notes. And he wrote this. This was pre-Omnivore's Dilemma. I think it came out, I want to say, in the late 90s. It's very early Michael Pollan. And he's a delightful writer. He really is. And he was living in a house in Connecticut with his wife, who was pregnant. And it sounded, and the house was small, but they had some renovations done. But still wasn't going to be a huge house. And he started dreaming kind of having a room of his own as a writer. And I think that the house had a certain amount of property. It was a form part of the land it was on was a former dairy farm. And so Michael Pollan got this idea. He would like to have a little writing shack, for want of a better word, on the property, not that far from the house. But and he decided he wanted to build it himself. Now, he had a good friend, the one who had done the renovations on the house he and his wife lived in, and he would have help, but he wanted to build the house. So I'm just at the part, I'm very early into it, and he's just figured out the site where he wants to build, and that itself. And so there are all these kind of theories about what's the best way to situate a building on a piece of land, and that was interesting. So I'm enjoying that very much. And because I have to have themes in my life, and because I'm a project girl, I thought, I want to do a house quilt. No, and this being me, like, no, I want to do a series of house quilts, but I want them to be functional. And I was thinking about the connection between quilts, or not the connection between quilts and houses, but how, you know, I read this phrase in the Michael Pollan book this morning when I was reading it, where something was referred to as, or some things, and maybe it's just houses, as symbols of refuge. And I thought, yeah, that sounds so nice. And I thought, you know, quilts are kind of or provide a kind of refuge. And then I started thinking as I was on my walk this morning how, you know, quilts, you know, we have the old argument, which I'm not going to get into, and I don't at this point even find all that interesting. It's like, it's quilting. Is it an art? Is it a craft? What are quilts? And I think quilts, more than other crafts, I'm going to argue. Now, you knitters may have a point of view on this, may have an opinion, but I think quilts, more than other crafts, function as art without even intending to, which makes it sound as though quilts were their own agents, had agency. I think all function is a piece of art, but because quilts carry meaning, right? And in a way, I think on several levels, and it'd be interesting to get a group of quilters together and talk about the quilts in their house and where those quilts are located, what the quilts mean to them. You know, so now I have on a chair in the corner of the living room, this is just an unused corner, it's sort of an out-of-the-way corner, and this chair is just a chair that goes with a bar table we have, a tavern table. Bar table's not a tavern table. So it's a black chair, it's tall, it's got a back, it's wood. And I have it in the corner, and now I have a pile of quilts on that chair. And I love looking at that pile of quilts. Now, and they're perfectly usable. Anyone can come into the room if they need a quilt. They can grab one off the chair. And I really like that. And I really like that those quilts are there. And even just sitting there, yes, they're quilts. Yes, they're functional items waiting to be used. But they also signify, right? And they signify comfort. They signify, so they're symbol. To me, they are symbols of refuge, right? Because they signify comfort. They say, this is a safe place. This is a place where you can be comfortable. This is a place where you can take a nap. And believe me, this house is a house where you can take a nap. We've got some serious nappers in this house. Travis, most of all. So just thinking about quilts and houses and quilts and art and quilts as functional and yet carrying meaning. I think the phrase I was batting around this morning was quilts carry the weight of memory, which a lot of items do, but I think quilts can do that in a lot of different ways. Not only, you know, from the fabrics that are used, the occasion of the giving, the person who made the quilt, the recipient of the quilt, all in all kinds of different ways. So I decided I want to try to make some quilts that have something to do with houses, because really what I want to do is build a house myself, but I don't think I'm equipped to do that. Like, I've always kind of thought I would love to build a dollhouse. Every once in a while I get out books from the library on miniatures. I love dollhouses. I love tiny furniture, which I think is a name of a Lena Dunham film, but I do. I love, yeah, you know, I just do. And I love, I think it's the Charleston Museum. I'm going to say it's a museum of history, and they have one of those huge Victorian dollhouses, and I just swoon. I really do. But I don't think I should really attempt to build one. I don't think it would be pleasurable for me. The idea of doing it is pleasurable. The process, I think it would be frustrating, and I don't think I would like it. But quilts, I know I like to make. And so I started thinking then about this artist. Her name is Barbara Buchanan. I'll link to an article about her in the show notes. She passed away, I'm not sure when. I want to say like 2006. I was not familiar with her till recently. The National Museum over at Duke has an exhibit right now called Southern Accent, and it's a collection of contemporary Southern artists. The Nasher is a contemporary art museum. And it's a good exhibit. It's one of those things, though, if you go in and you see the work of an artist you really like, you kind of wish that the whole exhibit was about that artist's work. And for instance, there are two pieces of Barbara Buchanan's work. And as soon as I got, I'm a member of the Nasher, so I got some stuff about the exhibit, you know, a couple weeks before it opened. And that's when, and there was a picture of one of her works. And what she, although she was African American, educated, grew up around a university, I think at the University of South Carolina. And I mention these because her art is in the vernacular style. So people often look at her work and think that she's a folk artist or an outsider artist, and she's very much not those things. But she spent a lot of time, she grew up in the South, and I'm going to say was probably born in the 30s. I can't swear to this. I don't know her biography like the back of my hand. That means she grew up in the South that, you know, there's a lot of, that means a lot of things about the South that she was growing in. But one thing, and I remember this from being, like, from driving from Virginia to Florida in the 60s, there weren't highways. So you drove on the blue highways. You drove on, not really back roads. They were main roads. But it meant you drove through towns. And you drove through fields. You drove through a lot of tobacco fields. I recall that, through Virginia and North Carolina. And there actually was quite a bit of change in the landscape. But she is interested in what's called vernacular architecture. And that can mean a number of different things. Overall, what it means is something that's built to meet the needs of the person in the place. So, for instance, right now, we're here, not in my neighborhood. There's a very wealthy neighborhood in Durham called Hope Valley, and someone is almost finished building a house that basically looks like Pemberley, right? It looks like an English estate, a British estate. And Hope Valley is a very wealthy neighborhood. It's not a Pemberley neighborhood, so that is not vernacular architecture. It has no business there, except to, of course, signify great wealth, which this family has. And Jack is friends with one of their daughters, and she's lovely, apparently lovely girl. And I just want to sit down with her sometime and go, "What's with the house? That house is nuts," which apparently she thinks so too. So I'd love to talk to her about it. I won't. Anyway, so the sculpture that Beverly Buchanan's doing is essentially, it looks like sharecroppers' housing, which you would have seen, and you can still see. At this point, what you see, you see more barns. You see more falling down barns if you on rural roads. You don't see a lot. You do see shacks, but stuff falls down. Things fall apart. That's what she was doing. Unfortunately, I have to say her pieces in the Nasher exhibit are like not my favorite pieces of hers. There are other pieces I've seen online that are fabulous. And there is an exhibit starting tomorrow at the Brooklyn Museum. And it goes through maybe February 2017. My guess is I won't get to see it, but I really want to see it. I hope they do a book. Anyway, so I was like, well, but vernacular housing in the South or vernacular architecture in the South is not just sharecropper shacks. It is barns. It's like tobacco barns. Tiny houses. It's tool sheds. It's all kinds of stuff that was built to meet a need. So I thought, well, that would be kind of interesting. Like, how would you do that? Like a quilt that incorporated sort of the house, your block, was actually looked more like, a chicken house or just something that you would see on the side of the road. I'm going to have to be careful with this because I'm definitely, the whole idea, the discussion we've been having, and I haven't talked about it a ton, but, there's been a lot of discussion about derivative work. There is an artist, her name is Sally Sellers, and I was just trying to find a block. I was just looking all over online, like, how do I want to do this? And then I stumbled across a picture, and she's doesn't call herself a quilter, she calls herself a textile artist. And there was just this house, and I loved the way it was done. And it also reminded me of this artist, what's his name? I want to say it's Sims Tabak, and he did There Was an Old Lady Who Swallowed a Fly. He's a children's book illustrator, and The House That Jack Built. So he's redone all these children's stories, but his style is very much like that of Chagall, you know, and I'm assuming, I think it's, I want to say it's, I don't know, I'll find it, I'll find who it is and a link, but yes, yeah, so there's something about his stuff. I was going to say, I'm assuming he's Jewish, just because, but I could be wrong, I could be absolutely wrong, but just because it's so, his work is so Chagall-esque in so many ways, and now I'm like, I think I mean Chagall, and I think Chagall was Jewish. Do I mean someone else? I don't know. I'll look it up. Look for corrections on the blog post. So that's what her, Sally, I think it's Sally Sellers, her houses reminded me of his houses, and suddenly I had an idea. Now, who knows what I'll end up doing, but I had a lot of fun last night not watching the debate, listening to it a little bit with one ear. The man was watching it in the living room. I was in the front room. Mostly I tried to ignore it, but I did do a lot of playing around. I actually was chain piecing the patchwork quilt and then doing these smaller squares, sort of just sewing strips together that I was cutting. It's also, I feel very Gwen Marston-ish. Is that... Gwen Marston-esque, I think we'll go, or Gwen Marston-ish, one or the other, but I don't think we can mix the esque and the ish, although I just tried to. So, and just sort of using some liberated quilting method. So we'll see how it all comes out. I mean, it's Thursday, I'm not going to post an episode until Wednesday, so by then maybe I'll have a couple of houses to show you. And then what I'm going to do next with them, I do not know, but I'm having fun. I enjoy playing. See, this is the new side of me. I'm a little bit less goal-oriented. Other than I do like to finish things. Hence, I'm finishing the patchwork quilt, even though, to be honest, it's boring to sew it all together and the pieces keep falling off the design wall. But, we've got a lot of action going on next door. Sorry, hate to be distracted, but sometimes I am. And I'm going to pet Travis so he won't start barking and scare anybody. Anyway, so that is what I'm doing. I'm playing. I'm thinking Tori, I'm hoping we'll be here tomorrow and we'll go to the Carrie Quilting Company so I can get the fabrics to do the second draft of Bauhaus Birds in the Air, because that's one I'll submit to QuiltCon. And then I also, one of the things I need to do is make this quilt for my friend Cullen and his wife, who are about to have a baby, and that's just going to be some sort of string quilt. And I talked to his wife, I don't know as well as Cullen, and now I'm trying to think, what is her name? Pamela, thank you. And she gave me the colors she would like, and it was hard, and I ordered some fabric from Carrie Quilting Company, had it mailed, but I ordered a mint green. This is American brand fabric. Ordered the mint green, and it's not working for me. I think I want something a little bit bluer, a little softer, more oceany. So I'm looking forward to getting over there to see if I can find what I need. So that'll be fun. All right, I think that's it for now. I'll be back. Quilt Diary Day 2. It's way in the future now. It's November 1st. I do not quite know, or maybe I do, why it's taken me so long to record this second diary. Last week, I kind of had a cold. I didn't really, because I take this stuff called Cold Ease, which has not been approved by the FDA, and yet I find it incredibly helpful when I'm about to get a cold. As soon as I feel cold coming on, I take Cold Ease. They're just lozenges, and I take one every 2 or 3 hours and for a couple days, and that usually either makes the cold go away and I never really get the cold, or else it's like turning the cold on half mute and you kind of have a cold, but it's the lightest weight version of a cold you can get. And I kind of had that. So I was kind of tired last week, and I was very busy. I was finishing up a draft to send to my editor, which I did yesterday. So a lot of my energy was going into that. I did some quilting. Let me tell you where I am. When we last spoke, I was talking about my house quilt, which I've made no progress on because I switched over to what I thought was going to be a string quilt, a baby quilt for my friends Cullen and Pamela, whose baby is due on the 26th, right around Thanksgiving. I thought I was going to make it a string quilt, but I made about 4 blocks. And I just realized the spirit was not moving me to make a string quilt. I just was not interested in it. As luck would have it, my friend Tori, who I met through this podcast, was in town, I guess sort of 10 days ago on a Friday. So we went to Carrie Quilting Company, and I got some more fabric and started working on a flying geese baby quilt. So apparently cannot get away from the birds in the air theme. I had, for some reason, when I realized I didn't want to do the string quilt, I got that picture of flying geese in my head and thinking, I feel like I have seen some really good modern flying geese quilts. And sure enough, when I looked online, I found a quilt that I really liked. And I use that as sort of a jumping off place. You know, we're getting into that question again of, are you copying? Are you stealing? Is this quilt derivative? Which is a question I feel is not that important for a quilt that I'm not selling or showing, but is important when it comes to documenting. So I haven't quite decided. The picture that I found online, it was on a blog, and it has 5 vertical rows of flying geese set off to the right side of the quilt. The geese, the rows alternate. Some are flying up, some are flying down. Some of the rows are longer, some are shorter. No two are alike. And so in that way, I was like, yes, I like that idea. Of the vertical geese, of the uneven lines of geese. So I used that, and I probably will set that element of the quilt to one side or the other. So I feel like that may be enough of, you know, that maybe crosses the line from just being inspired by a quilt to actually making a derivative of that quilt. Some things are different. I'm making my geese a little bit bigger. The units are 5 inches wide and 2 3/4 high, and which seems to me to be bigger, and using different colorways and what have you, but also doing the colors of geese in threes. So also what I derived from the quilt. Yeah, it's funny, but it's also one of those, you're like, okay, that feels like you're copying, which, again, I'm fine with if I'm not selling or showing. And on the other hand, you're like, is it possible to have a corner on vertical flying geese elements? I don't know, but I feel like I've taken enough. I'm talking myself into that I should include the designer of this quilt. If I do, I will do a label. I still haven't done my birds in the air quilts labels. When I do the label, I can say inspired by a quilt by, quilt designed by so-and-so. So it's a tough question a little bit when you're getting into really simple designs that you might have been able to think up on your own that are not traditional designs but are elemental designs. When is credit due? That's the question that we're wrangling with now, aren't we? Yes. Anyway, I have finished doing the flying geese units, and now I have to set them in to the white background. I have to actually finish the rows with white and to even all the rows up, and then set it into a white background. And then I have leftover units, and I'll put those on the back in some way. So I need to get going on that, although, you know, if they don't get it before the baby's born, that's fine, although it would be nice to give it to them before the baby's born. But I also, of course, need to do my second draft of Birds in the Air, which I want to be, Bauhaus Birds in the Air, which I want to be really careful about so that I can do a good job and have a good picture for the QuiltCon folks, although I suppose I do actually have a nice picture of the original one, and they would not be able to see all my messy bits on it. So if worse comes to worse, I guess I could use that, but I'd rather get a new, fresh, really well-pieced revision draft done to photograph. And I'm thinking, you know, when you enter into QuiltCon, if you're a member, it doesn't cost that much. I mean, I feel like it's $15 and you could submit 3 quilts. So I have to think. I think I'll probably just do Modern Birds of the Air. Did I talk about this last time? It's been so... Man, it is... I'm on the porch. And it is... Like, right now we've got sirens. And this is the third helicopter going over. It makes me wonder if there's an accident on the highway. We are close to 2 hospitals. The VA and Duke Hospital. So it's not all that unusual to have helicopter traffic. But now it just feels like I live in the big city with sirens and all kinds of stuff. Amazingly, Travis is not barking. Can you hear the lone cricket? I hope that records. That's very cool. Alright, yes, yeah, so QuiltCon, I can't remember if I talked about this. I'm just repeating myself. If I did, the Bauhaus Birds in the Air, then probably Modern Birds in the Air, and I might do the Paper Birds in the Air, even though it's not a particularly modern quilt, but just submit it under applique. It's modern enough that the planes are solid. We'll see. We'll see what happens. But that is coming up soon. It's November. October just went by in a flash. It was beautiful. Had a couple days where it was 80 degrees, and I didn't complain about it, but I sort of narrowed my eyes at it a little bit. I was not happy. Yesterday was Halloween, which means yesterday was Will's birthday. He is now 14. He did not trick or treat. I am a little bit curmudgeonly. I noticed on Facebook this year, there are a lot of people saying, I don't mind when teenagers come to my door. Which is just, you know, it's just the expansion of every single holiday. The only thing they haven't managed to get their little paws on, and by they, I mean merchants, is Easter. And really, you know, when they figure out a way to do it that just doesn't get them lined up against the wall and shot, they will. But I sort of protest against now Halloween is like a week-long thing. And I see people carving their pumpkins, you know, a week in advance. And I'm like, you understand pumpkins rot, right? We're clear on that concept. And anyway, so the rule for my boys was you can trick-or-treat through 7th grade, and that's plenty old enough, and then you leave it for the little kids. And we had some little kids and that come, and that was it. So that's good. But yeah, I know a lot of older kids trick-or-treat now, and I'm not like, you know, it's not like I wouldn't give them candy, but I would give them the fuzzy eyeball, I think. Just, you know, kind of like, you're old. But I know, I once again, I'm in the cranky minority. Really, I was surprised how many posts I saw on Facebook. Like, I'm happy to see kids. Let's not make our kids grow up too fast. I'm like, I don't know. I think sometimes they could use to grow up a little faster. You know, I know it's different times. It's different times. But yeah. So, anyway. But Will did not go. And if he had asked, because he is a Halloween baby, I probably would have given in, but I'm glad he didn't. In fact, he had a friend invite him out, and he said he didn't want to go, and that was just as well. So we had a nice birthday party, and then Jack had some friends over later to watch a movie. They didn't have school yesterday. It's the end of the grading quarter, and they didn't really have homework yesterday. A bunch of guys came over and watched a movie, and I think had a good time. So it was nice. It was a nice day all around. So yeah, it's November. Gotta get those QuiltCon quilts done. Are you making a quilt to submit to QuiltCon? Let me know. I'd love to hear all about it. I think I'm going to finish this up. I will tell you, I have done some reading lately. I recently finished Anne Patchett's book, Commonwealth, which I liked. I think it has a lot of characters. And it flips through time quite a bit. So if you like a straightforward narrative with just one or two points of view moving through chronological time, this is not a book for you. But if you can roll with the punches, it's pretty interesting. It had spots. You know, I would give it a solid 4 stars, not 5. Because there were some spots where I was just like, nah, this is kind of... Well, I just found a little bit tedious. So it felt like they went on too long. I have to tell you, I just read the most wonderful children's biography ever. It's on E.B. White, who I adore. Charlotte's Web is one of my favorite books ever. And it's called Some Writer, which is a play, of course, on some pig. The author is Melissa Sweet. She's also the illustrator.
And I love her style of illustration. She's written several books, but she's illustrated a lot more. And she does, it's a mix. She does watercolors and drawings, but also collage, neat stuff with text. It's really like just a visually pleasing book, but it's also a wonderful biography of E.B. White, who was, I think, a fairly wonderful person. You know, he was quiet. He kind of didn't like to socialize, which makes me love him all the more. And was apparently terrible, hilarious hypochondriac, and he kind of knew it. But it was so his hypochondria was real. But I think it sounds as though he could laugh at himself about it. But was, you know, just a wonderful person. So this was a lovely biography and a very well done biography. So, if you have a child who is reading Charlotte's Web or Stuart Little or Trumpet of the Swan, or if you yourself love those books, this would be a book that I highly recommend. I want to thank everyone who has helped with the distribution of Birds in the Air cards. If you have a guild meeting where you could leave some cards, a local quilt shop, or a big quilt show coming up, and you want some Birds in the Air cards just to leave out or hand out, let me know, and I will send you some. You can email me at fdowell, as in Francis Dowell, at nc.rr.com, and I'll get some out to you. And I want to thank everyone who commented on the last episode and the photo gallery that the man recently put up, and I'm actually walking inside, so the acoustics and background noise are going to change. Hopefully fewer helicopters inside, but I'm walking over to my computer so I can say thanks to everyone who has commented. Okay, I want to say thanks to Loretta Six, who, when I talked about the quilt industry, she thinks that fabric makers got greedy and the industry focused on fast and easy. Harsh? Yes. $14 a yard is what some shops are asking. Too much when you need 10 to 15 yards to make a big quilt. And I agree. That's a lot of money. That's, you know, that's why I'm looking at thrift store and scrap exchange fabric, because especially for the backs of quilts that really take a lot of fabric. Thanks to Sandy H. from Quilting for the Rest of Us. And thanks to Vicky. Thanks to Laura and Cindy. Thanks to Nancy, to the wonderful Krista Watson, who has a new line of Aurifil threads out. I'm very excited about that. I sew with Aurifil. I know a lot of you do too. And Krista always does wonderful things. Thanks to Jay, who commented on episode 198 and 199 and some of the pictures in the gallery. Thanks to Glenna, to Andra, to Dorothy, who just ordered Birds in the Air. Thank you. And thanks again to Jay, who commented, yes, as I said, several times. And I'm always, and she wanted to know, she said, I hope you signed the copy for Jenny Doan. I think I mentioned this in the first quilt diary, that I did indeed send a copy to Jenny Doan. My mother said she's marvelous. I probably said that, but, and that, she seemed genuinely excited about the book. So, yay. Oh, the funny thing that Jay said in her comment, I heard you mention Sandy from the Crafty Planner podcast. I think we have to put a moratorium on people named Sandy doing podcasts. Or perhaps it is a trait of Sandy's. Perhaps Sandy's are predisposed to podcasting. An excellent question, Jay. Because we do have a lot of Sandy's. But if we got more podcasts, and new podcasts, you know what? Your name could be Sandy, or it could be, I don't know, Eliza, Helen, Hazel, whatever. I love a quilting podcast. If you're thinking about doing one, I hope you will. This is the 200th episode, and I realize I did not really come up with a good giveaway. Part of me wants to give away a copy of Birds in the Air. So many of you have already purchased it, but I think I'm going to go ahead and do a Birds in the Air giveaway because, you know, Christmas is coming, so it could be win-win for both of us, right? I get, you get a Christmas present you could give to somebody who likes quilts, and I get a new reader. So why don't we do a Birds in the Air giveaway? I know some of you are also on, you know, tighter budgets and maybe have not
that maybe have been saving or waiting to, you know, for a good time, which will not happen in the next 2 months, because as my friend Kristen mentioned to me today, it is, for many of us, this is considered the beginning of the holiday season. The Halloween is now that kickoff point, which just fills me with dread, although I love Thanksgiving and I can't wait for Thanksgiving and need to order my Thanksgiving turkey. But yes, so if you're thinking about Christmas presents, you've already bought your copy of Birds in the Air. Here's a Christmas present you could give to someone else. And if you've been thinking, I really would like to buy the paperback version as opposed to the Kindle version, and I'm just waiting for my budget to untighten a little bit, well, here's a chance. So let's say it's November 1st. Let me hear from you by Thanksgiving. Leave a comment. Leave as many as you want. And yeah, winner gets a book. How about that? Or say if you already have a copy of Birds in the Air, if you don't want another copy, but you might like a book to give a kid, I've got some books. I've got a whole catalog of books. You could go on Amazon and decide which one you like, and I'll send that one to you, signed copy. So that's an option. All right, my dears, thank you for listening. Thank you for being you. I hope you've had a wonderful fall so far. Enjoyed your Halloween, or were able to ignore it successfully. Let me know if there's anything I can do for you, and I will be back in 10 days. That's the plan. Fingers crossed. All right, then. I'll talk to you later. Thanks for listening to the Off Kilter Quilt. Come visit me online at offkilterquilt.com. Until next time, this is Frances. Remember, life is short. Quilt first.